Good morning and Christian greetings. Glad to be in the house of God this morning and to be able to share with you. I enjoyed the morning. And thanks, Brother Ivan, for reading that passage out of Luke chapter 2. I was listening to a historian, a Jewish historian, recently, and this scripture here that you read out of Luke 2, where the angels came to the shepherds, brought new light to me about this incident when he said, this shows us really the heart of God for his people, and that is redemption. He says, the angels came unto them, and they said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And he told them how they would go to the city, and they would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. That's quite different, you know, not in a house, but in a manger and in swaddling clothes. And these shepherds, this historian said, they were Levitical shepherds, and they were taking care of the sheep that they used for the Passover lamb. And when they lambed, they would use these lambs for the Passover. And he said they would bring him in, and they would use these swaddling clothes to wipe him and examine, make sure that they were spotless, blemish, no blemishes on him, and they would reserve those for the Passover lamb. When the angel came and told them about they shall find this child, babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, and it was in that same area, same manger where these lambs were brought in and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Already at his birth, that was God's design, that this would be the Passover lamb. Oh, that was interesting. The title for my message this morning is Christ and His Kingdom. So we will be talking about Christ and His Kingdom, and it all began with His birth. So if you have your Bibles open, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, I think we will maybe we'll read to verse 12. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and all the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Just like he was very interested, he also wanted to come and worship this babe. And no doubt, I mean, when he heard about this, another king, they asked, where is this king of the Jews? He was troubled. It was sending tremors through his political mind and thoughts of a king being born. Yes. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. They had heard the king. They departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Okay, when Herod found out about this, he didn't know anything about this, so this was an alarm to him, because he didn't want no competition. He didn't want anybody to take his throne, and we know that's not why Jesus came. But it does say here in verse 6, they went and searched the scriptures. What did the prophets say? Find out. What did the prophets say about this king? Where he should be born? And it was written that in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, for one of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. How's he going to rule them? How does he rule his people? In the new covenant, in Hebrews, we find Hebrews 8:10. The writer there speaks about this, and he also brings out a prophecy, again, from the Old Testament. Like in the book of Acts, when they had questions, they went to the scriptures, the word. What did God say through the prophets? Peter says, in 1 Peter, he says, the prophets, they searched diligently to see what time frame, manner this salvation would come. They searched the scriptures. But Hebrews 8, when you think about there shall come a governor and shall rule my people. It says here, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. There it is. That's how he wants to rule his people, and that's how that rule means how he governs his people. Because I will put my laws into their minds and write them upon their hearts. He changes your heart. By the Holy Spirit, he takes the heart of stone out and he gives us a heart of flesh, a heart that is tender towards him. And as we sang that song this morning, Joy to the World, he rules the world with grace and truth, by his truth. Then as they did, I thought we would go back to the book of Daniel and just see what God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar in a dream about Christ and his kingdom. So if you turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. This was a prophecy, this was a revelation that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, who was also a king. He was a king of Babylon, one of the greatest kingdoms on the earth at that time. We'll begin in reading in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Daniel. It says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him." That's a way to get a king's attention. God wants to get his attention. He gave him a dream. And he wasn't able to sleep anymore, and it troubled him. "Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, 'I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream.' And spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syria, 'O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation.' The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, 'The thing is gone from me. If he will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation thereof, he shall be cut in pieces and your houses be made into a dunghill.'" There we see a little bit the nature of this king. I believe he was a powerful king. He was a ruthless king. He was a dictator. He did what pleased him. I mean, just like that, he made this decree that if you don't tell me the interpretation, they said, "If you tell me the dream, we'll give you the interpretation." The thing of it is, the king couldn't remember his dream, but he remembered it made a great impression on him. Maybe you can recall already dreams that you had. You remember a dream, but you couldn't really just recall it, but it made an impression on you. This made a great impression on the king. Verse 6, "But if he show the dream and the interpretation thereof, he shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that he would gain the time, because he see the thing is gone from me. But if he will not make known unto me the dream, there is one decree for you, for he hath prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me." See, he didn't trust his people, the sorcerers and astrologers and Chaldeans. He didn't trust them. He said, "You're asking for time, but you're going to use that." He says, "Tell me the dream, and I will know that he can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not in flesh." Verse 12, reading on. "For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hastily from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then God blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." So we see after Daniel made the thing known to his friends, his companions, and they sought the Lord that God revealed to Daniel in a dream what he showed King Nebuchadnezzar. So he told the Arioch, the captain of the guard, that God revealed it. He came into the king's courtroom, and we will read in verse 26. Pretty long passage to read, so I'll skip some of it here. It says, "The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, 'Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, maketh known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these.'" "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into the mind upon thy bed, what shall come to pass hereafter." See, this was the beginning of the king's dream. As he went to bed and he was thinking about his future. Perhaps he was thinking, who would be king after him? What's going to happen to his kingdom? He had all these concerns. And Daniel tells him, "This is what you thought when you went into your upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? But as for me," in verse 30, "this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, saw us, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form was terrible." The terrible means awesome. "This image's head was of fine gold, his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass and the silver and the gold, broke to pieces together. and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. The God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field, and of the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of iron, forasmuch as thou sawest that iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, for they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. So, at the conclusion of this, Nebuchadnezzar, he rewards Daniel. Made him a great man, gave him gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief governors over all the wise men of Babylon. That's the story for Daniel. So God gave Daniel. Daniel was able at that time to be used of God to bring this revelation to King Nebuchadnezzar, what God would do in the future. And he told him, it's not by his own wisdom and by his own strength, but there is a God in heaven that has the answer. So we see, says about the head of gold, which is to be King Nebuchadnezzar himself and his kingdom. That was the head of gold. As God has given him strength and power and glory, you are this head of gold, he told the King Nebuchadnezzar. But after this, there shall arise another kingdom inferior to this one. After Nebuchadnezzar, his son reigned. And you have that in chapter 5, where his son Belshazzar had that feast. And he was given, it was the fall of the Babylonian kingdom. a head of gold in chapter 5. They were having a wild party with 1,000 of his lords. And it was during this time that there was a handwriting on the wall. It says, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That was in the year 539 BC when Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians, which was, the Persians were, if I understand it right, would be the people of Iran today. That's the area they were from. And from the silver part of that image was King Darius. The silver part was the breast and the arms of silver. Then in the year 331, yes, a couple hundred years after this, this whole territory was taken by Alexander the Great. Alexander of Macedonia, the Grecian Empire. Alexander was a great, he was the one of the most successful military commanders in history and was undefeated in battle. By the time of his death, he had conquered most of the known world to ancient Greeks. Palestine, Egypt, and he wanted to go all the way to the east, all the way to the sea. That was through India, all the way to the sea. He began his reign at age 20, but he died a young man, like around age 32 or 33. He was the belly of brass. He died. The causes of his death was either malaria or some kind of disease. Some say he was poisoned, but he died a young death. So that was the belly, bell of brass, Alexander the Great. So the next one, that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, was the feet. And this was the Roman Empire, King Caesar of Rome. It says here, iron mixed with clay. King Caesar, he was of Rome. Then you had King Herod. He was Herod the Great. He was a servant to Rome. He was king over the Palestine area there where Jesus was born. And he's the one we read about in Matthew chapter 2. When the wise man came to him, he was very upset about this. And that stone that was hewn out of the mountain, you know, already sense the tremors are coming against this huge statue. He quaked and he feared about this stone that was hewn out of the mountain. So the last part of this kingdom was, like I said, Caesar of Rome and King Herod the Great. This was the time when this stone was to be hewn out of the mountain. Herod's government, he allowed the Jewish people, they allowed them to have their own form of worship. They had their own structure of authority under that, as the high priest, the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin. I think this is what the scripture is talking about. The prophecy here, or this dream, is talking about where he says, iron mixed with clay. As long as the Jews paid their taxes to the Romans, and the publicans took care of that job for the Romans. So it says that Jeremiah, the prophet, said in Jeremiah 51, he prophesied during Nebuchadnezzar's reign, "You will be desolate forever, declares the Lord." So today there is nothing but rubbles under the ancient ruins of Babylon. When Saddam Hussein, in 1985, he began rebuilding the cities on the top of the old ruins, that was Babylon. Both restoration and new construction, all to the dismay of the archaeologist. And he put his name inscribed on many of the bricks. This was built by Saddam Hussein. He wanted to do this to glorify Iraq. Then a lot of these bricks, they became collector's items after the fall of Saddam. But there's nothing there. I mean, as far as a city like Nebuchadnezzar had in Babylon. And for Rome, the gradual collapse of the Roman power was the consequences of a series of continuing events. Rome decayed from within, inside out, moral decay, and economic plunder, plus disease and civil wars. Her powers lasted until the 3rd and the 4th century. Are any of these left? They're all gone. And it says, this stone hewn out of the mountain made without hands. So that was a work of God. And there I think we see the work of God. This stone was obviously referring to Christ. It was not something that man did. The virgin birth is not something man did. God did that. The stone hewn out of the mountain without hands. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Luke chapter 1. So it was 600 years later when this was given of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, that the angel visited Mary, the angel Gabriel, and he brought an important message to the young lady, a virgin. And she says to him, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne," thinking of a kingdom, "shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So is this the stone he's speaking about in Daniel chapter 2? Yes, it is. It was a miracle. It was the Lord's doing. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, there was a prophecy. The Lord says, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." Then in Acts 4:11, as Peter, there was a miracle done after the day of Pentecost. A lame man was healed. The gospel was going forth. Many people were being saved and converted, and the lives changed thousands. So here was another miracle. There was a lame man healed, and the rulers, they brought Peter and some of the apostles there to the elders. Peter told them, "This is the stone which was set at naught," means rejected and counted as worthless of you builders, "which has become the head of the corner," this stone. So we see even in even Jesus referred to, I don't have that here, but I know there's a passage where Jesus talked about the stone that was rejected by the religious leaders, the stone that was set at naught. Matthew 21. Maybe that passage is here in Matthew 21, 42. Yes, this is it here. Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder." So Jesus also spoke of this stone, which he was referring to himself. It says, verse 44, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." Being broken is a beautiful thing. It speaks of a change in the spirit of man when someone is broken. Instead of pride and selfishness and of a selfish heart that manifests itself in rebellion to Christ's authority, it's a humble heart, broken, which is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. James 3:17. Think of a horse that is unbroken, is worthless if it remains unbroken to its owner. But once the horse becomes broken, they're completely changed. They become valuable to the owner. You don't have to be afraid of them, of a horse that is broken. They become profitable. Now they're gentle, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits. That's a picture of broken or unbroken here. Thinking of the stone, Jesus says that if we fall upon this rock, which is himself, we will experience a brokenness, a change in your life, And if not, whosoever shall fall on the stone, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That speaks of God's judgment. For there's a day coming. It says that every knee shall bow before him. He will bring judgment. And it won't be a beautiful thing. It won't be, to stand before God. But this happening here, whosoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Speaking of judgment. The day is the day of salvation. Let us, come to the Lord and allow him to break us today, that this stone which Daniel or Nebuchadnezzar, the king, saw, and it did break the image. And it was it's an everlasting kingdom. Not just a kingdom for a time that you're a part of. It's an everlasting kingdom. These earthly kingdoms, they were just for a short time, even for a couple hundred years, then they were gone. Christ's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that endures for 2,000 years already, and it will continue to go forth. And that prophecy says that it will go forth, and it started in Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, it spread out. It just continued to go all over the whole earth. And now the gospel of the kingdom is being preached in most every country in the world. Maybe not, there's many, I think there's many that have not maybe heard the gospel, but as far as of the power and the influence of Jesus, the King, far exceeds any other king that ever lived. And it continues to go. And it's only to be seen. And if you remain faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's only to be seen what will continue to happen as we remain with the Lord in his kingdom.